Come now to listen to God's word. Our first reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through to 4, which can be found on 1220 in the Pew Bible. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. To the elders and the flock. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Our second Bible reading comes from the Gospel according to Mark, and that's chapter 9, verses 33 to 37. And that's found on page 1013. So that's Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through to 37. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the road they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." May God bless to us these readings of his holy word.
Now let us pray. God our Father, each one of us is a unique individual. We have our own particular needs. But we require that your Spirit is working in our lives, that your word is setting the pace for us in our discipleship. So we ask that everything that we receive today would be our encouragement and our peace. For Jesus' sake, amen. Friends, if you ever come across an edition of the New Statesman magazine, you'll find on the cover a slogan which says, "Smart thinking in dark times." Smart thinking in dark times. Now, whether you actually find some smart thinking in its pages is up to yourself and your own judgment. But I remember reading that slogan and thinking that that's exactly what's needed in dark times and challenging times. There's some smart thinking. And that's what the Apostle Peter is seeking to bring to a whole series of Christian congregations that are stretched across what used to be called Asia Minor, modern day Turkey. It's a time of persecution when life is being made very hard for Christian people. It's a tide of persecution that will eventually carry Peter to that moment where he's required to give his life for his witness to the Lord Jesus. And so Peter, knowing the plight of his brothers and sisters in the faith, perhaps anticipating his own end, he's seeking to bring some smart thinking into the life of the church. And he's very confident that the people to whom he is addressing this letter that is part of our Holy Scriptures, the people to whom he is addressing this letter, they will have the faith to come through this time. And not only to come through this time, not only, as it were, holding things together. Peter is confident that his brothers and sisters in the faith can realize Jesus' vision for his church when he calls them to be the light of the world. When he calls them to show the presence of the living God in the midst of the dark times. When he calls them to reflect his being to men and women who are seeking answers to the great questions of life. And if this is going to happen, if these people are to sustain their faith through difficult days, if they are to realize their destiny as the light of the world, then they need some smart thinking from the Holy Spirit of God. And in the passage that Lindsay read to us earlier, you'll have noticed that Peter is addressing these words first and foremost to the leaders in the church, the elders of the church, those who are called to set an example of service to others within the fellowship of God's people. But as you read through that passage, you find that there are principles here. There are ideas here. There is smart thinking here that needs to trickle down, as it were, from the leaders into the main body of the church. Things that will be essential if these people are to sustain their faith, if they are to continue as witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter wants the leaders, first and foremost, to think about the importance of sharing. He says to them in verse 1 of chapter 5, I appeal to you as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Now we have to remember that Peter was a unique individual. He was an apostle. He had a position in the church which sometimes I feel we don't appreciate so much these days. But he was one of the few who had actually seen the Lord Jesus. He was one of the few who had actually heard Jesus preaching and teaching. He had witnessed our Lord's sufferings upon the cross. And we're also told by the Apostle Paul that Peter was an eyewitness to the resurrection. He was an apostle, part of that select group whose teaching needs to be listened to. But when he comes to his suffering brothers and sisters in Christ, Peter, in a sense, introduces himself as a fellow elder. A fellow elder. And he places himself amongst that community of God's people that will share in the glory of Christ at the end of all things. He's one of the body of Christ here on earth. And that, this is a point that the apostles stress time and time again in their teaching. That the Christian life is not about living in an isolated, privatized, cocooned faith. The Christian life is about sharing. The Christian life is about seeking to make a difference within the community as it grows, as it deepens, as it increases in its sense of being a community in Christ. The smart thinking in this difficult time, Peter seems to be saying, is for us to be a sharing people. And that is at the very heart of this sacrament that we celebrate this morning, friends, this Lord's Supper. We've been called here today as the body of Christ. We are called to break bread and to share wine in memory of our Lord Jesus. We have Him in common. We seek deeper communion with Him today as a people. You know, I just love the way the reformer John Calvin used to see the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. He says that in the sacrament, the hearts of the faithful are knitted together and raised to be united to the heart of the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. We are never more the people of God sharing the life of Christ than when we come to the Lord's table. And if we're going through the worst of times as a congregation, if we're going through the worst of times as individuals, then here we see those others from whom we can draw strength. And here we are reminded of the one from whom we can draw the supreme strength. The one who says, "Come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest." Smart thinking for a church under pressure is sharing. And in that sharing, to be serving. Peter is quite clear about that also. He says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. Not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Peter's stressing the importance of service within the community, and not to let it become like a burdensome duty, something that we have to do, but maybe resent doing or can't put our hearts into. And not as something from which we can gain a reputation or gain materially. But to serve one another quite simply because we are willing to do this. We wish to see God's people increased. We wish to see God's people strengthened. And all for the glory of Jesus. And that's why we do it. That's why we serve one another. You know, I think it sometimes is a puzzle to people outside the church, and I've known this in my own life. They just can't understand what we get out of it. This life of worship, this life of devotion. Well, there is nothing to get out of it socially. There is nothing to get out of it materially. So what is the advantage? Well, it's never about what we get, friends. The default position of the Christian man, the Christian woman, is giving. And Jesus himself has set that pattern for each and every one of us. When he says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here is the Lord of the universe, but declaring that he will not lord it over those with whom he has to do. And Peter is saying here, that should be the pattern of your service. That should be the example that Christian leaders should set in anticipation of others following them. You know, we've often said, I know I've said it, that such and such a person's full of themselves for whatever reason, because of their achievements, because of their gifts. Full of themselves. Peter is emphasizing here in this short passage that the Christian man, the Christian woman is full of others. And what can be done to help others in their time of need, to help others to realize their full potential as those who will reflect the very character of Jesus. And that's one of the reasons why I cherish this tradition that we have, friends, of being seated at communion and of passing the bread and wine one to the other, in a sense serving one another, because that is at the very heart of the Christian life. What we can give to one another. Smart thinking in a time of darkness is for us to remember the importance of service. But also in the end, to remember that in all of this, in our sharing and in our serving, we are also a receiving people. And Peter points the believers forward in that sense, because he says in verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. In your sharing, in your serving, you can anticipate being part of the glory of Jesus himself. You've maybe heard it said of some people that they had their eye on the prize, that they were aspiring to some great achievement, aspiring to some great possession, some great reward. And that's the way that this might come over here when we see it. That Peter is pointing, believing people forward to that day when the chief shepherd will appear and we will receive the crown of glory. We will share in the final victory of our Lord Jesus over sin and death. And that can be misunderstood, I think, by some people. You know, I once had someone say to me that he didn't like things being done for him in the name of Christian charity. Because he said, you're just trying to please somebody up there. You're just looking for brownie points. It's not that you really care. Well, he may have good reason to say that. But let me just share with you the way I look at this. This looking forward to receiving the crown of glory. I believe that when we respond personally to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we accept Him as our Savior and Lord, then He places us in this great project, which is at the very center of His being. That He brings the whole of creation forward to that day when everything is renewed. The renewal which began in the lives of men and women, coming to its full expression in the renewal of the whole of creation. And along the way, those who have responded to Him, they are called to give their community, to give their nation, to give the world glimpses of what it will be like at the end of all things, when those great values of Jesus will have triumphed. So, we are called to care for the sick and the bereaved. We're called to stand up for justice. We're called to work for the peace of our communities, for our nation, and for the world. Not because we are looking for brownie points, but because that is what we do as Christian people who have been called by Jesus, who are part of this great surge that will come to a head when Jesus returns and the full expression of His kingdom is seen on this earth. You know, there are many groups of people over the years who have adopted that African American song as their anthem, "We Shall Overcome." Oh, it's a powerful song. But you know, the only people who can really sing this and know that they will overcome are the followers of Jesus Christ. We are given that promise that we will share in the glory of Jesus. That we will see a renewed people, a renewed creation. When Jesus has finally overcome the darkness. And not just with smart thinking, but with the power of His love and His justice and His peace. You can be sure of this, says Peter to those who are reading his letter. And as we sit here this morning and we are reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul, who says that when we gather to break bread and share wine, we proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. The death that secures my forgiveness, my renewal, my hope of eternal life. The death that in the end will push back all the darkness we could ever experience so that the kingdom of light is established for all eternity. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that You would, in the power of Your Spirit, take our lives, establish them more firmly in Your great purpose. Make us a sharing people, a serving people, a people who have received a vision of all that will be and the assurance that we are part of it. In the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.